company called Umgalelo Africa. We get into that conversation. As we wait for our next guest to connect with us, please do remember that you can absolutely interact with us there.
Power Lunch with Faith Mangope.
We have to be intentional about us not being in competition, but being complementary to one another. And whatever spirit that told us that we don't need each other, so therefore we need to kill each other, we as black people need to stop that. That's what's stealing our progress, is when somebody, when we've allowed evil to infiltrate us, our culture, our homes, our being, and taught us how to hate each other instead of love each other. That's where the failure of the black person starts. So I hope that in this International Women's Day, women, you're affirmed and you know that you are able to accomplish anything should you just rest in your own power.
Power Lunch, weekdays 12 to 3 p.m. on Power 98.7.
The station for news and talk. Power 98.7 on 103.6 in the south of Johannesburg, 104.4 in the Vaal, and 107.2 in Ekurhuleni. Now, we're talking.
All right, and as promised, we are joined now by Patricia Sherda. She's the spokesperson for Circular Energy, speaking to us really about the extended producer responsibility regulations and why they are important for the South African economy. Patricia, good evening. Thank you for being with us this evening.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right, Patricia, let's talk about, you know, recyclers, greenwashing, and essentially this extended producer responsibility regulations, what they mean, and, you know, the importance in the South African economy right now.
Okay, yes. Yeah, so the extended producer responsibility regulations are not enough to help South Africa alone to move forward within a circular economy. So without the support of innovative and well-developed recycling and waste management sectors, the country's EPR regulations can inadvertently enable greenwashing and inhibit real environmental impact. So in terms of the dangers of greenwashing in EPR, by ensuring that companies or producers that import the identified products in terms of the EPR regulations, to ensure that they are compliant with the regulations, not enough to establish an effective EPR system in the country. So the circular economy needs both the producers who are committed to meeting regulations and a system of service providers or recyclers with the necessary skills and resources to carry out the work on the ground. So if all aspects of the system are not in place, the EPR can end up facilitating greenwashing by enabling companies to meet regulatory requirements on paper only.
Now, Patricia, talk to us about greenwashing, and I think maybe contextualizing that in the South African economy as a whole, and why we are finding this to be an urgent intervention to be facilitated by regulation.
Yeah, so greenwashing involves a number of things. So it can be a company that's either enhancing or fabricating the environmental impact of its services and products, or creating the false impression that it is taking effective steps to curb the environmental impact of its business activity. So we need to ensure that sufficient capability and service providers in South Africa, which we do have, that is critical to ensure that the commitments that are made by producers can be fulfilled in real life or in practice. So, service providers or recyclers are needed to ensure that waste is collected and recycled, and it should be that we develop and expand the country's recycling and waste management capacity. And so the intention to recycle is not void if consumers return used products only for most of the material they contain to ultimately end up in landfill, because the technology or capacity to recycle is not available. So we need to make sure that there is solutions in the ground within South Africa to manage products that are put on market by companies, and that they take responsibility for the end-of-life management of those products. And that's what Circular Energy does. It drives that capability and that capacity to ensure that that the products are environmentally soundly managed.
Now, Patricia, you have spoken about the fact that regulation is not enough. So let's talk about, you know, the other factors that need to be at play to ensure that we are adequately recycling and we are adequately greenwashing as an economy. And also maybe you can talk to us about why this is super urgent. It sounds like one of those things that we'll take lightly today and then in 10 years' time we'll be like, we should have listened. So talk to us about why it is urgent today.
Well, if you look at specifically, if you look at the electrical and electronic waste or lighting and lighting equipment waste that is generated in South Africa, for electrical and electronic waste, only up to around 10 to 12% is currently being recycled in South Africa. And for lighting and lighting equipment, only between 2 and 5% is coming back through the formal channels to be managed correctly. So so that we need collaboration, and all stakeholders need to collaborate to ensure that we can improve that situation. And recently in the Department of Forestry, Fisheries and Environment, they recently gazetted the Household Hazardous Waste Management Strategy. So it's been gazetted for comment, which was due for public comment, which was due on the 1st of March this year. And this again highlights the opportunities for the importance of collaboration between stakeholders throughout the product and waste value chain, including public entities and private service providers. So the draft strategy recognizes that public-private partnerships can help to improve efficiency in waste collection systems, and it will attract technical expertise and increase capital investment in waste management systems. And it also recognizes the important role that the informal waste sector continues to play in the country's existing waste management systems. We all see the informal sector actively on our streets, currently doing paper and plastic collection. So we need to increase those capabilities so they can be included into other waste streams. So the EPR regulations can impact the benefit many waste management and recycling service providers, including those in the informal sector, like our waste pickers.